Good morning to each of you, and God's rich grace and his tender mercy is absolutely yours in Christ Jesus, who is our Lord and our Savior. It is a privilege for me to be here in Noblesville with you today and to share the good news of the gospel, although when you read about Elijah, you wonder what in the world with Elijah facing. He was saying, I'm the only one, Lord. Everyone else has deserted you. I'm jealous for you. This world is a mess. And then Paul writes to the Galatians, and he said, there's all of these problems, all of these things that captivate you, trap you, and take away your freedom. And it's a mess in Galatia. Well, it seems a long ways away, or does it? We understand the world in which we live, and we just sang, Lord, grace of this, that you love us, that you would still care about us. And we hear the gospel lesson for this morning, and people were disturbed because Jesus said he had his face set towards Jerusalem. Jesus was going to Jerusalem on purpose for you, for me, for the people of Elijah's day, and for the people of Galatia. Jesus does what he does because in many ways and from time to time in almost every generation, the world is a mess. And yet people talk and think about freedom and say, well, what we really want is just plain freedom. Paul says to the Galatians, if you're free in Christ, you're free indeed. Well, but there's always the problem of freedom, and there's the other side of the coin, which means we're not so free, or we take freedom, but we misunderstand what it is. If you take a small child who wants to be free from the strong and firm handhold of the parent, that youngster may just decide to run right out into the street. They want to be free. Well, that kind of freedom is not so good, not so healthy, and is actually downright dangerous. And even adults sometimes see freedom behind the wheel of a car as permission to drive like they're at a bumper car rink. Those of you that drive the highways know that very well. We love freedom, and yet Elijah said people aren't free at all. They think they're free, but they're captivated. In Galatians, Paul said people take freedom and use it as a privilege to do whatever they want. So what does freedom really mean for us in 2022 in the contemporary world in which we live? The Bible tells us that if the Son sets us free, we are free. We're free from the guilt and the sin which plagues us and entraps us. And yet, on the other hand, we sometimes feel exactly trapped by our own guilt, by our own shortcomings, and by our own failures. And then at the end of that hymn that we just sang, it said, when we've been there 10,000 years, what a joy that will be in the Father's house. But Lord, it's a long way from that now. I mean, we don't know how long it is, but right now, Lord, we're living here, and when we're there, that will be great. We love freedom, and we'd kind of like to have it now. We're called to live free now, free in the liberating light of Christ, free to live and even produce what Paul says to the Galatians is the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. These are great things. They're not against the law. They're according to God's will. They're delightful. They make family life and our personal lives full and complete. Those who belong to Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And so if we live by the Spirit, then we can keep in step with the Spirit. Well, we try to keep in step with the spirit, but we step over the line and out of bounds on too many occasions. And yet, every night when you go to bed, every single night, and you pull up the sheets and you put your head on the pillow, here's what you know for sure. You know that God loves you. He's said it 1,000 times. You know for sure that you are a child because you know that the waters of your baptism continue to refresh and renew you every day. You know for sure that your sins are forgiven and you can sleep in peace. And when you woke up this morning and you put your feet on the ground, you could say, one thing I know today, whether it's rain or shine, God loves me, Christ has died for me, the resurrection is an absolute reality, and I am free. I'm free to live as God's child. I'm free to be the man or woman of God in the context in which I live, whether that's as a student or as an adult, whether in the working world or at home. It's all because Jesus was set on going to Jerusalem. Freedom. The kind of freedom that really matters is the kind of freedom that only Jesus could give. And the only way that was going to happen was if he had his heart and mind and feet set on going to Jerusalem to do what had to be done, and that was sacrifice of the cross. He was not to be detoured. He was not on a mission. He was on your mission, the mission of the Father, to redeem the people that God had created and that God loved, even though, as in the time of Elijah, they were acting up terribly. And actually, in Galatians, they weren't doing much better. And in our society today, we would say, well, there's a lot of heartbreaking and disappointing things happening, and people are saying things and doing things that are absolutely, Lord, I feel like Elijah. And the Lord said to Elijah, in that small voice, I'm with you. I'm going to take care of you. And I will enable you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to remain strong in your faith. Because the truth is, we know that the idea of freedom is something we like to think of without the other word that went with it, and that's sacrifice. How can I get free without sacrifice? How can I be free without there being any price paid for it? And if there's a price for freedom, I don't think I can pay it. And you can't. That's why Jesus did it, because you couldn't pay it, and I couldn't pay it, and no one else in this world could pay it. But the idea of sacrifice is just tough for us, and even a lot of little earthly things. Most people will not win an Olympic gold medal, because winning an Olympic gold medal means huge sacrifice. That means all you think about, all you talk about, all you do day in and day out for years is to prepare to compete at the absolute highest level. Most of us will not be an NFL quarterback. Most of us will not be the world's brightest scholar. Most of us will not appear on the big stage to be some kind of national star. All of those things mean sacrifice, a lot of sacrifice, eat, drink, sleep. Everything is focused on one particular goal. My son was a student in college studying to be an engineer. And it was a challenging curriculum that the engineers have. And they were studying one night quite late. And it was approaching midnight, and they still had a lot of studying to do for some kind of calculus test. One of the guys there in the dorm room was sitting there, and after a while he took his books, closed it, and said, I'm going to get my stuff together. I'm going home. What? I'm going home. nothing is worth this kind of sacrifice, this hard of work. I am not going to stay up night after night to get an engineering degree. I'm going home to mama. And he did. He left, and he never became an engineer. People thought that Jesus, when he looked at Jerusalem and what was going to happen in Jerusalem, should take a detour, go another path, another way, not go to Jerusalem. It's going to be too hard. It's going to be too painful. It's going to require too great of a sacrifice. And Jesus rebuked them. And then the disciples said, well, those that are giving us trouble, maybe we should call down fire. We'll burn the whole bunch up. Jesus said, no, that's not it either. What's going to happen is a sacrifice of love. Freedom is going to come by God's grace. Freedom is going to come by the way of the cross. Freedom is going to come in the resurrection. Some of the people who were a couple of other difficult things about burying their father and taking care of earthly matters. And Lord, shouldn't I do that before I follow you? Jesus uses a hyperbole here to say, you know, the things of the world, even things that are pretty personal to us and pretty important to us, are not more important than your connection to Jesus Christ. They're not as critical as it is for you to follow the lead of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he used the example of the guy plowing in the field in those days behind an oxen. If you're plowing behind an ox, which I have not done, it's very difficult to keep that ox going straight and keep that furrow straight. Although I did grow up on a farm and I did drive a tractor and I did plow fields. And my dad always said too, son, if you're going to plow, and I'm actually going to turn the tractor keys over to you, you see the end of the field? Yes. Put your eye on something at the end of the field and plow straight towards it. I want straight furrows. And he emphasized that because he knew the tendency of one driving a tractor is to look at everything else to the side, one side or to the other side, or daydream or whatever. And he knew it was easy to drift off of course when you're driving a tractor. Jesus knows that our hearts drift pretty easily too. He saw it in his disciples time and time again. And the truth is, he sees it in us. Elijah said, everybody's drifted away. I'm the only one left. Paul said, it's easy to drift into the temptations of Galatia, which is a very contemporary town, much like the world in which we live. So Jesus says, kind of what my dad said, keep your eye on the cross. Keep your focus on who you are and whose you are as God's child. And when you come together as the body of Christ, as we are this morning, and you hear those wonderful words, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to you, the absolute forgiveness of sins. The grace of God forgives you. Forgives you when we drift, and we drift every day. Forgives us when we step out of line with the Spirit and we have a difficult time walking by the Spirit or keeping in step with the Spirit. So we're so easily distracted by every little thing that comes along. And we're also tempted by all kinds of things that can do us in or can lead us in the wrong direction. And so, at the end of our confession, we hear the words that we are forgiven. What if when we came to church, we heard the words, okay, that's it. No more forgiveness. We're not going to announce any forgiveness now because you messed up last week. You messed up the week before. You've been messing up for weeks and weeks and weeks and years and years and years. That's the end. Cutting it off. Amazing grace, it just ran out of amazement. No, it doesn't run out of amazement, and it doesn't run dry. Even though we are so easily led astray, we are freedom-loving people who are called, even in today's world, not to become a slave to those things that will entrap you and hold you hostage. Little thing, isn't it? A little handheld computer, really. And a wonderful tool in some ways, in many ways. It got me here with using my GPS so that I didn't take any wrong turns, although I knew where Christ Noblesville was anyway. But also, it's loaded with temptation. It is loaded with things that can cause us to drift. It is loaded with things that cause the world sometimes to be exactly like the world of Elijah or the world of Galatia. And all kinds of temptations are there that can do us in. And Paul says at the end of that letter to the Galatians, if you bite and devour one another, watch out. You'll be consumed by one another. If we as God's people cannot treat each other the way God treats us, we really hurt one another. You may have a few bite marks that you know of. Or maybe you've been bitten. Or maybe there's some people that would say, actually, I've been bitten by you. You've hurt me. You've hurt me, and I still live with the pain. In those cases, the salve that we have, the healing that can take place, is only in the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. To set you free from any bite marks you have, and to set those free around you who may have bite marks from you that are still healing. The social media is one thing, but also we can do it without social media. It would be great if we could say, don't worry, I will never do that kind of stuff. That's not me. I go to church all the time. I'm a faithful Christian. You think I'm going to be led adrift by all kinds of little whip-stitch things like are in our lessons today? I would never do that. Instead, we must say, Lord, you know me too well. You know me better than I know myself. You know me better than anyone else knows me. You can see into my heart, my soul, and my mind. You know, Lord, that we want to do better and live lives that are free. We want to heed the words of Paul's letter also to the Romans. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul says to the Galatians, now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. I mean, this is a whole catalog of things that can set us off track, that keeps us out of the step of the Spirit. And all of those are designed by the old evil foe who would love to entrap you so that you're stuck. So you're stuck and you're anything but free. Even though you may say, no, that's why I'm doing all that stuff, because I'm free. I can do whatever I want to do. They're quicksand. They're quicksand. They will not set you free. It will indeed hold you hostage. Temptation is always at the door, whether it's on the TV, the internet, your phone, whatever it may be. There are a lot of things that want to imprison you. But it is the cross of Christ. That's where our focus is. That's who we are. And we come, even as we did today, saying, Lord, I went adrift again. I am a poor, miserable sinner. I haven't been in step. Lord, you know what I thought, what I said, or what I did. You know me too well. How could you possibly love me that much, since you know me to the core? It is only by God's grace that we are forgiven, and sweetheart, you are forgiven. The price has been paid. It was a big, big price. Freedom comes sacrifice. You are free in Christ, and that freedom gives you not only a new lease on life, but shows us the new life in Christ, so that we can begin as we did this morning when we woke up and when we made our way to church. I'm coming to celebrate God's grace and mercy to me, but I'm coming as a poor, miserable sinner who somehow God still loves and forgives and is free. That kind of freedom is not the kind of freedom that comes with the law. That's the kind of freedom that comes by way of the cross. So our attempt sometimes as humans is to make some laws to make myself free. Well, nothing wrong with laws, and there's nothing wrong with trying to have an orderly society. But from Elijah's day to Paul's day to today, we know that it is the gospel that truly sets us free. And the gospel is an absolute load of grace that only Jesus could deliver, and he has delivered it to you. May you rejoice in the true freedom that you have in our Savior Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all of our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.